This Pharisee in the gospel asks, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He's asking, sort of in our language, "Teacher, what's the bottom line? What is the one or two things I should focus on if I am to obey the Lord the best? What is the meaning of life? What is the way to be fulfilled?" And our Lord gives the twofold response of loving God fully, and in loving God, loving our neighbor. Because when we love God, we become like God through the sacraments and through our prayer and through our acts of our good works and our acts of virtue. And when we become like God, that helps us and actually impels us to love our neighbor, because God is love and loves our neighbor as well. So in this, he gives us sort of the secret of the meaning of life. Philosophers throughout the ages, mystics, and all kinds of very devoted men and women sought for the answer, sought for the meaning of life before this. And now our Lord reveals the answer. And it is a simple answer, but it is also a challenging answer and a hard answer to say yes to and to give ourselves to fully. Because in the teaching of the church, faith, hope, and love are in this category called infused virtues. We can't do anything to make ourselves more full of faith or hope or loving on our own, which is in contrast to acquired virtues like justice, courage, and prudence, and temperance. So in those kinds of virtues, by doing, for instance, something courageous, we actually grow in courage by doing an action. But in love, we're much more dependent on God. We say yes to loving our neighbor and doing something kind for them, or say yes to prayer, or say yes to receiving the Eucharist with devotion, for instance, and that itself doesn't make us more loving, doesn't have that virtue sort of grow in us, but it disposes us to receive it, and God, seeing a heart disposed to receive his love, pours his love in there because he is very generous. But it's humbling to recall that reality, because, you know, we sort of just open the door and the Lord has to pour the love in and enter that door himself. We can't simply go through the door with some of the other less important virtues and acquire it ourselves. And we are reminded that love itself is always attached to sacrifice. And for our culture, that is a word that it doesn't like to hear, because we're all about the quick solution, take the pill and feel better, have the medicine to take the pain away, perhaps, and not really address what might be going on underneath or the underlying symptom. We sort of like the quick fix and are very efficient in avoiding pain. We're very good at it. But true love is always connected to sacrifice, and in that sacrifice, we demonstrate our love. For instance, an example from my own life, my father's very German, so he's not a very huggy-kissy kind of guy, right? I know he loves me deeply because he faithfully would drive, I'm from Pittsburgh, from the South Hills to the North Hills and back every day for like 15 years, which was intense for his job. And he would still make like every single one of my lacrosse games when I was in high school. He would just always be there and I know he was making sacrifice for myself and for the family, so I am confident of his love because I see that sacrifice. And sacrifice is also important in marriage, for instance, when students come to me and maybe are talking about getting close to the engagement point, right? One question that's very good to ask and, is sort of needed to test the love, it's for the guy especially, I ask, are you willing to die for her? Are you willing to die for her? Because if you're willing to die for her, our Lord says, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend, and she will be your best friend. So in that willingness to give of ourselves fully to the other is love. And our Lord, on the cross, gave of himself fully, saying yes to death, the total gift of himself in martyrdom par excellence to the Lord, and in that way, he demonstrates his love for all of us. So love is always tied to sacrifice, but when we make sacrifices, maybe at the beginning of our spiritual journey, they're harder and they annoy us more and it's difficult, but Saint Benedict writes in the Rule for Monks that as we set out on the narrow road and we don't let the narrowness sort of make us fearful and run away from it, as we go forward, our hearts actually expand, as he says, with the inexpressible sweetness of love. So those sacrifices that we found difficult and hard because of love, waking up to quiet our small child, of needing to drive a middle school child from practice to practice to practice, making dinner, cleaning the house, all of these normal things, going to work, support the family, dealing with behavior problems, all of these are little crosses, little sacrifices, but as we enter into love more, our hearts can embrace them and they actually become a source of peace and joy for us because we know that in that cross we are united with our Savior very intimately. And another point we can, and a final point we can derive from this gospel is the concept of self-gift. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So he's saying we need to give ourselves fully to the Lord with what we think and what we believe needs to be consecrated to him. What we do, what we say, all of it needs to be a gift to him. Our very vocation, our call to marriage or priesthood or the religious life, and our mini vocation in our job, all of that the Lord wants to take and receive as a gift. So, and by uniting those things to God in prayer and saying, Lord, I give this to you, even if it's a regular, secular job, I offer you this work, Lord, it transforms it and becomes a total gift of ourself. And on this altar, our Lord gives of himself fully. So he's not asking for us to do something he's not willing to do. In the Eucharist, our Lord gives of himself totally and completely to us. And that's what Catherine will be experiencing for the first time in the Eucharist and the Blessed Sacrament. As we say amen to the body of Christ, what we're really saying there is, yes, I believe that this is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I believe everything the church holds me to believe, and I want to love you, Lord, and I give myself to you fully. It's a self-gift of our very person, of our deepest part of ourself, to God when we receive the Eucharist, and Jesus himself is giving everything he has, everything he is, his whole divinity and humanity, all of his pain, all of his sacrifice that he made on earth, all of his joy, everything that he is poured into us through receiving communion and the Blessed Sacrament. So that's how we as Catholics really grow in love fully, and that helps us to understand what I was speaking of in the beginning, that's an infused virtue, right? We can't do anything to make ourselves more loving. We just dispose ourselves to be made more loving by what we do. And we can't do anything, for instance, to have our Lord, at least as lay faithful, be present in the Eucharist and come into us as pure love. We need to receive that as a gift. So that gift is received at Mass, and it is a beautiful thing to be dependent and vulnerable and reliant on the Church for that gift. So we rejoice today as Catherine receives the gift of Jesus for the first time in the Blessed Sacrament. He's going to give himself fully to her, all of his heart, all of his Sacred Heart to Catherine, and we pray that as she says amen, she'll be able to give all of her young life to the Lord, and the Lord promises in that exchange of love will be great joy and peace and the beginning of a beautiful journey towards holiness in a new way, a journey that began in baptism but now receives the healing medicine and the sort of supercharged booster food of love in the Eucharist. So we thank the Lord for the gift of the Blessed Sacrament. We ask him, as Catherine approaches the table and as all of us approach the table once again, that we might give ourselves fully to God, and anything we might be holding back from him, any forgiveness we are not giving to somebody, any part of our life we're sort of keeping in the corner, in the dark, from hidden from the Lord's light, we ask him for the grace to bring that to him now, to give all of ourselves, even our weakness, our poverty, and our sin, especially to him in the Eucharist, because that's precisely what he wants to enter into. He doesn't want the best of ourselves. He wants us to give him the worst of ourselves so he can heal that and make us whole.